still skeptical of the government's drone response. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
The fact that they're out there saying there's no evidence means that they have no knowledge. They don't know what this is.
Republican Mark Green chairs the House Homeland Security Committee and wants more answers about all the mystery drone sightings, mostly in New Jersey.
Yes, of course, some of these wind up being manned flight. But not 5,000.
Fox's Nate Foy reports from Elizabeth, New Jersey.
New federal drone detection technology is coming to New Jersey and New York as this mystery is impacting several states across the country. They include Pennsylvania, California, Maryland, and Connecticut. But the bulk of the sightings remain in New Jersey, where lawmakers on both sides of the aisle are calling for more transparency from the Biden administration.
Another Trump cabinet nominee facing a potentially contentious confirmation next year goes to the Capitol this week. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. will meet with 25 Republican senators trying to win their support for him to lead Health and Human Services.
Kennedy will need to shore up support with Republicans and members of the Senate's Help Committee that oversees federal health agencies. He has been a skeptic of vaccines and overprocessed foods. In an interview with Time Magazine, President-elect Trump said he'll listen to Kennedy about vaccines and could consider pulling some if they're dangerous or not beneficial.
Fox's Jared Halpern. In an hour, we expect to hear from President-elect Trump from his Mar-a-Lago resort, where he's meeting today with the CEO of venture capital firm SoftBank, expected to announce a $100 billion investment in critical U.S. infrastructure and AI. A sheriff's deputy is dead in Florida, and so is his killer after a traffic stop went bad.
Charlotte County Sheriff Bill Permel choking up, talking about the loss of Corporal Elio Diaz, killed in the line of duty on Sunday afternoon. Paramedics rushed him to the hospital, with deputies waiting outside for news about their brother. But Diaz died from his injuries.
Caitlin Knapp with Fox 4 TV in Fort Myers. The driver fled, but they caught up with him at a Popeyes. He took out his rifle, shot and killed by deputies. America's listening to Fox News.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation welcomed U.S. Army Specialist Brent Menard into a new mortgage-free smart home in Florida. Now, while on a road clearance mission in Afghanistan, Brent's vehicle was blown up by an improvised explosive device. Brent became a T4 paraplegic. Tunnel to Towers built him a specially adapted smart home that allows severely injured heroes like Brett to live more independently. We hope you'll donate $11 a month so this great work can continue. Just go to their website, the letter T, the number 2, the letter T.org.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code SECONDFREE by January 26th. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website.
Broadcasting Americanism from the York Heating and Air Conditioning and ACUMA.com studios. 560 KBLU.
From the News 11 Information Desk, I'm Zachary Moran Norris. Thousands of people attended Saturday's 21st annual Dorothy Young Electric Light Parade in Yuma. This year's theme is fantasy and fairy tales. The highly anticipated event is known for its dazzling display of illuminated floats, cars, and marching bands. Also happening, the city of Yuma unveiled some new playground equipment at West Wetlands Park this weekend. The city unveiled two additional inclusive play equipment, the Wego Round and Sway Fun Glider. After the unveiling, there was a ribbon-cutting ceremony for a new addition to the park. It will feature two ramadas, over 2,000 feet of connecting walking trails, and 65 new parking spaces. And local health officials are investigating a rise in whooping cough cases throughout Yuma County. Yuma County Public Health Services District says 10 cases have been reported so far this year. Officials say four recent cases confirmed just days ago show no connection to prior cases, which suggests broader community spread. Catch us on News 11 tonight at 5, 6, and 10 p.m. for your latest local news, weather, and sports.
Hi, this is Tony Driscoll, Vice President, General Manager of Eldorado Broadcasters. If you're the owner and or operator of a local business, I'd like you to hire us. Yes, I'd like you to add 560 KBLU to your team. For what it costs you for hourly employees, like that guy that at this very moment is leaning back in his chair, staring aimlessly, or the gal checking her Facebook page for the 17th time today, you could be reaching out to thousands of listeners with a positive message about your business. Sorry, guys, I didn't mean to bust you out like that, but hey, get back to work. If you want to reach the people listening to the radio right now, just like you are, give me a call at 928-344-4980. And if I'm not leaning back in my chair, staring aimlessly, or checking my Facebook page, I'll answer your call and we can talk about us going to work for you. 344-4980.
Eldorado Broadcasters is an equal opportunity employer.
'Twas the night before Christmas, and a burglar came calling. His mind was on the loot that he soon would be hauling. But what he didn't know when he entered the home was that his little plan would soon be blown. The family was ready with plans of their own. They protected themselves with gifts from Firearms Unknown. Whether for sport shooting or home protection, Firearms Unknown is the perfect place to finish your list. Firearms Unknown, 801 West 32nd Street or firearmsunknown.com.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Our pillow walk separately.
Pillow walk?
Yeah.
We still have a ton of pillows on their beds. They're always in the ones we don't.
I mean, that happens sometimes. Sometimes I've got a pillow that goes over my face, and sometimes it does.
Like the pillow over her face?
Okay, tell me where we start.
What is your greatest fear?
Oh, my God.
Speaking of pillows to the face, I have this great fear of being in a casket.
And not being dead.
Not being dead, like they think you're dead. Who, I don't know. You're in the casket. I don't know how you get there. But you're awake. And you are buried in this casket. And you, it's completely dark, obviously. Limited movement. You can't sit up all the way. You can't stand up. Sometimes I'll lay in bed and I'll, like, that will go through my mind. And I get super anxious. Like, I got to get up and move around. No? Nobody? Nobody has that fear?
No.
Being buried alive used to be a big fear, I think, for like more 18th century, 17th century type people, because you'd be in a coma and their heartbeat would be so faint that they wouldn't be able to tell.
That's why I had the bells on the grave.
Yeah.
So they could ring him through the...
And there's a short story that's a very popular short story about that, where somebody is very paranoid about that, so they want to have that rope in there.
Yeah.
And it does happen to them. They get buried alive, but he planned so far in advance that the rope started to decay, so when he pulled on it, it broke.
That's a bummer. Do you think he gave himself a heart attack and died?
I don't know. He just suffocated and died then.
No, but...
Are you claustrophobic?
Probably a little bit if I, like, think about it too much. More heights? Yes.
I don't have any empathy for that.
No, I think I just avoid that. I would put myself in a situation and not them. And, like, tell a story about the boat when you were working on it and you got stuck. That would give me a little bit of anxiety.
So I was mounting a wake tower on my boat. And
this is like late at 90s, low and awake.
Yeah.
What's a wake tower?
A wake tower.
A wake tower. Okay. Yeah.
So I'm mounting it on my boat and the bracket needs to go back in the hull of the boat. So in order for me to get in there, I had to pull off the cushion and I have to, like, put my head in first and then just kind of, like, wiggle myself underneath into the side panel of the boat so that you can't see any part of me. It's only enough movement that I can move my arms that are already above my head. I can't pull them down below my head after that. And I needed to mount it using some fiberglass resin,
mm-hmm.
And that resin, once you mix it, it becomes really, really, it's like this glue vapor that gives you this huge headache, you know, you probably
really strong, really fast.
Yeah. And so I could feel myself, like, getting really dizzy and going into this.
And you're out there by yourself?
Yeah. It's like,
at what time at night?
So if somebody even came out and was, like, looking for me in the boat, they wouldn't see me, right? Because I'm in this crevice between in the fiberglass. And so I'm like, I got to get out of here. I just remember thinking, I got to get out of here. So I start wiggling backwards. And
let me ask, did you have any windows open for ventilation?
No, I'm in between a fiberglass section of a boat.
Down in the seats to get down in the section where I needed to.
No, like in the garage. Do you have?
Outside.
Yeah, it was outside.
But, oh, that's okay then.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's like in the tiny compartment at the, you know, where you lift up the seats and he's way in the back.
Yeah. Okay. Like I sent my 10-year-old son or 11-year-old at the time to go look at the bolt just to make sure after we've been using it for so long it was still not loose. And he's like, I can't get in there. I'm like, come on, I got in there with a wrench. I'm like, tighten that thing. And
oh, my gosh. What if you got stuck in there? What? That'd be hilarious. Call the fire department. I've thought about it. They had to cut through the hole of the bolt.
So many
close calls.
Close calls because he's out working on projects.
So what happened?
Brittany.
I wiggled myself out.
And then?
And then what happened was I needed to drill one more part through this aluminum casing to hook it onto the boat. And I was drilling it, and all the other times I'd put it in the vise and drilled it. And I'd drilled probably 24 holes by this point. So I'm drilling the last one. I just want to get it done. And so I'm holding it in my hand, and I drilled through. When the drill went all the way through, it went into the palm of my hand.
You pulled an atom.
Yeah, we both
did it for me.
And I could feel that it went into the bone and it got my tendons too. My hand like crumpled. And so I'm like, okay, like I'm not a guy that leaves a project undone, but I was like, we're calling it.
Call it a night.
And so I just left everything as it was. And I'm just holding my hand really hard. I don't want to look at it. It's like one of those things that's like, I'm just going to put all my energy in just to like dealing with the pain right now. So I go in and I've got a.
You equip disclaimer. This was not my brightest moment.
And I was really. I've got a book playing in my pocket, and so I go into the bedroom and I'm just like wincing, trying to like take off my clothes so I can get in the shower.
And that always hurt because I'm asleep because it's late at night. I just hear really loud music and making a lot of.
So you're already asleep.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, it's 2 a.m. So
say no more.
I getting ready. And she's like, can you turn the book down?
Honestly, it sounds like something Adam would say. It really does.
My pinky off to the side, like trying to pull my phone out of my pocket and hit pause.
There's like blood everywhere.
And she's like, what'd you do? And I'm like, I drilled my hand. And she's like, well, that's what you get for working at 2 a.m. I'm like, just go back to bed. I'm not asking for anything at this point. I just let me go off and shower in the fetal position until I can withstand the pain.
Yeah, that was not my best moment. I was pretty tired.
You know what? I would have said the same thing in the moment and then been like, oh, by the way, how are you?
Yeah, in the morning she wakes up, she's like, why is there blood all over the bathroom? I told you I drilled my hand.
Yeah. So heights, that's what you're going with?
That's what I'm going with.
Okay. Brittany, what do you think? Your worst nightmare.
Losing all my kids.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, way to pull out the big guns, Fred. Yeah,
that's what I like.
I mean, to doy.
Yeah.
But,
that's my, like, it'll always be something like that. Like, I can't find every one of them or they're hurt, you know, died. Somehow. Those are you. If I'm going to have a nightmare, it's usually about that. So then.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've had several close calls with them. So that's a real fear, too.
Wait, of you losing the kids?
Yeah,
one
time we went on a bike ride down to West Wetlands. It's early in the morning, and I had Wesley with me one of the first times. I did it with Gracie several times. We'd go out in the river, we'd swim. Gracie was a strong enough swimmer, and the river is not terribly fast current, but it can have some points where it'll sweep you away. So we'd swim out in the river, get back on our bike, and ride back home. And Wesley wanted to come with us this time, and he was probably 4. And yeah, because we're still living at your parents' house. And so we rode out there, and he's just really, he had a ton of stamina.
He was a really good swimmer, but still.
Right. Stamina to get out there on the bike ride, so I'm assigning to him way more than I should as far as like being responsible for himself. And so we swim out in the river, and he gets caught in the current, and he starts going down the river. And so I can't get to him on time. And there, for some reason, at 6:30 in the morning, was a group of teenage boys, and they were right at the bend where the river goes around, and it's just all cattails from that point on. And they were like, "Hey, do you need help?" And I said, "Absolutely." So they jump in, and they grabbed him, and they pulled him to the shore. It's like, "Hey, buddy, we're not going to tell your mom about this for a little while, all right?" So, yeah.
And did he? Did you tell Britt?
Not for a while.
Oh, I don't remember. I don't remember finding it later, I guess.
Waited till things calmed down a bit. Yeah.
Did you always want to be a mom, Brittany?
Yeah. Always. That was... My mom made it look so easy. I didn't help her. I don't know how she did, but... Maybe it was just us kids. I don't know. Maybe you're...
It's because you guys were so good.
It is. I made it look so easy and so, like, we were never a burden. My mom was really good at just enjoying it, doing it wonderfully. I did everything well.
Tell them the story about the maddest she got at Heather.
I put it on my hand. We're doing this on the radio. Heather, my oldest sister, was, I think, had her driver's permit but wasn't driving yet. We were at the gas station on the corner of 16th.
Well, was driving but didn't have her full license.
Yeah. And so they were getting the gas at the gas station right there, right next to the signal fence here on the door. And so I know they just resurfaced the
intersection.
No, the
gas station.
Gas station, thank you. And anyway, my mom goes in to pay, and Heather had said, like, "Can I pull up?" She thought my mom had already put the gas cap or the I cannot talk today.
The nozzle.
Thank you. The nozzle back. You're gonna have to edit that all out. Anyway, she thought she had already put the nozzle back. So Heather gets in the car, pulls forward, and pulls the nozzle out of the gas.
I feel like I remember my sister telling me.
And the gas was spewing all over the resurfaced asphalt on the gas station. And I remember being in the car. I was little. And my mom comes out. And Heather's like, "I'm sorry, Mom." But she's like, "Sorry. Sometimes sorry just doesn't cut it." And we give my mom a heart attack because literally that's like the worst
that
we've ever done.
That is awesome.
We'll probably be on our headset and sometimes sorry doesn't cut it because we've never really let her live it down. Yeah. I mean, I would probably have done a lot worse than my kid. And
I think
I remember the angry gas attendant walking out. He was wearing boots and like tight jeans. And he's like throwing water all over the ground as they're trying to like dilute it. Like to.
Oh, with gosh. Ice. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. Mom's pretty angelic, so
that's pretty awesome.
What I wanted to do.
I think,
what about you?
I think the worst thing that I've ever heard a few things, but the worst thing that I was like, she's like, I remember her tromping down the stairs. "Sometimes I get so mad, I just curse in my head," and I'm like,
I love it. Our moms are both
saintly women and. Yeah, practically perfect.
Yeah, they're pretty much married.
So, Jessica, you come from a family of 10.
Yeah.
And you fall third from the last.
Number 8 in a family of 8 boys, 2 girls, number 8.
How was that growing up?
Amazing.
Do you have any daddy issues talk about?
I freaking love you. I do not have any daddy issues. We're all
anything good. You want to vent to the world?
Anything I want to vent.
Get it off your chest?
No, nothing.
Therapeutically.
Nothing to vent. I loved my childhood. It was amazing. It made me the person who I am today. I wouldn't change anything. I love all of my brothers. I love my sister. And I just got back from spending some time with my brother in Utah, and I was sitting there with my nieces telling them stories about their dad when he was in high school, and they were like, "What? We didn't know you were cool, Dad." Right? And I was like, Brian was like, "I told you guys." They were like,
"I tried to tell you."
That's the coolest.
And so I was like, "Your dad was like my best friend." I said, "Listen, Brian and Brittany took me under their wing. They hung out with me. They were my BFFs. And then they left me. And I cried. But they were awesome." And so.
Yeah. Brian was always like the moral compass. I never really did like a lot wrong in high school. I was a pretty good kid. But Brian was like straight as an arrow. He was the one that would be friends to any with anybody.
I know.
Even like maybe people that he was naturally cool and he was friends with all types. And one time, this is not making myself look great, but shows the character of Brian. So I'd heard something about a kid that we went to church with, wasn't doing some things he was supposed to do. And I told Brian, I was like, I heard this kid's doing this. And he ended up going to that kid's dad. And so the kid's dad calls me and was like, you saying this? And I remember being really mad at Brian. Because I was like, I can't believe you went and told him. But he's like, well, like, he needed help. Like, he wasn't supposed to be doing this. And I was just mad because it made me in trouble. But Brian was just concerned for the kid. And I remember.
That's how Brian is.
That's just Brian.
That's Brian.
And I was.
To this day.
Yeah.
Right now. That's how he is.
And I was. And he probably doesn't even remember that. Because it didn't probably stand
out. He probably doesn't.
Because he was just doing.
He's just doing his thing.
Doing what he did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. I grew up with 8 very protective brothers who are still very protective to this day. And I love them. And I wouldn't change anything for it.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this. Want to hear more Life, Death, and the Law? You can find it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, or any other platform you listen to your podcasts.
We have got a beautiful week of weather for you this week with sunshine at 72, Monday's high, 45, the overnight low. Sunny at 75, a little bit breezy on Tuesday, 52 tomorrow night, 78, and sunny on Wednesday.
Vitalant is Arizona's largest nonprofit community provider responsible for fulfilling blood needs for 62 Arizona hospitals. We are the designated provider for every hospital throughout Yuma County.
Vitalant needs more than 600 blood donors every day in the state of Arizona. About 1 in every 5 to 7 hospital patients requires a blood transfusion, so that takes a lot of blood donors.
With a daily need of 600 blood donors, all blood types are needed, but always most greatest in demand is type O blood, which is the universal blood type required in emergencies and traumas. Giving blood is safe, easy, and painless. It takes only about an hour to go through the process start to finish, but the actual donation is less than 10 minutes.
Every blood donor in the month of December will get a free medium cheese pizza from Pizza Hut. In order to make an appointment, visit our website, vitalant.org, and enter the word Yuma. You can then find a blood drive near you and sign up.
Everyone deserves a fast and reliable connection, one that helps better their everyday through the things they value most: friends and family, education and career. A connection that opens pathways to opportunity and builds roads to a better future. At Spectrum, we're committed to delivering just that every single day. Because with the right connection, anything is possible. That's Life Unlimited. That's Spectrum.
If you're the owner and or operator of a local business and want to continue to hear the right talk, please consider advertising on KBLU. Your advertising dollars are the gasoline for the Clark, Kilmeade, Bongino, Hannity, Beck engine. Without your support, the old 560 just won't roll. Reach out to like-minded folks, the patriots listening to this legendary radio station. When you do, you can invite new customers in and remind regulars to visit more often. And most importantly, keep the programming you love on 560 KBLU.
Help support Crossroads Mission by attending the Christmas Ball December 20th at the Yuma Civic Center. Hi, this is Clyde Gill.
And I'm Barbara Rochester.
Inviting you out to jingle and mingle and dance the night away, all while supporting Crossroads Mission. Doors open at 5:30 and tickets are available at crossroadmissions.org.
Please support our upcoming men's shelter by donating today. Visit crossroadsmission.org for more information.
See you December 20th at the Yuma Civic and Convention Center.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
And so, hence, so Brittany's my cousin. So, she grew up with a family of all girls. And so, my sister is 11 years older than me, so I didn't have any, like, girls my age. So, I was like, Brittany was kind of like my sister cousin.
Yeah, that's the best.
So.
But I will say I was always thought your house seemed more exciting. And because you had like teenage boys around all the time. I mean, we did for the guys that liked my sister. But yeah, it always just seemed like so much fun. There's always so much going on.
It was chaotic.
It was like, yeah.
Holes in the wall.
So
crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always thought it was so much fun. I loved hanging out.
My parents did set it up to where they said they wanted our house to be the house where people congregated, which I really appreciated because they said, we just want everybody here. So they, you know, the basement, they put a pool table in and did like a big screen TV, and they would always encourage us to have our friends over and do stuff like that. So they would host my brothers having their football dinners over there or whatever, feeding all of the people.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of fun.
It was open door.
Yeah. Yeah. And it still is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Totally.
Is there something you can point to that you grew up with or that was taught to you in your family that you've tried to maintain in your own? You each have six kids, right? Mm-hmm. Is there traditions or a way of life that you try to continue to live because you've experienced it or try to avoid because you've experienced it?
I mean, I like Jessica, felt like I grew up with like the perfect childhood. Super happy. Probably a little sheltered, but I don't think that's a bad thing, right? Like, but yeah, my sisters and I were each other's best friends, and that's something I want for my kids.
Yeah.
And I just like when my sisters started leaving for all, because I was number 4 or 6, I just remember being so sad because I hated when they left.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've seen my kids develop relationships, not that they're all perfect, but it's been fun seeing those relationships develop because I had a very close-knit family and I wanted that. So I don't say that. What do you think, Sean?
Yeah, you still have a close-knit family.
Yeah, that's true. They are so close. Yeah, it's good.
Sean loves that. He tells me every day when I come to work, he says, I cannot get over how much I love Brittany's close-knit. Huh, weren't you just telling me that?
Hey. I probably have a disorder where I have anxiety in
social settings. We're not going
to
make fun.
Married into such a small family.
And I'm antisocial by nature, and they are super social and like to hug and like to be together all the time. And it's not dinner with the family unless there's a bunch of kids running around and 5 conversations going on at once. And for me, that is Dante's level of hell.
Or sounds like a regular Tuesday night. It sounds like to me.
So I would rather eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Sean, it's
on like concrete surface than eat a turkey dinner with a bunch of people having a conversation.
So that is your greatest fear.
You live your greatest fear every day. Yeah.
You're fixed. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. How much do I owe you?
We'll talk about it later, but.
So then what's your greatest fear, Hanson?
I already told you. Being in the casket.
Oh, that's right.
And? Who my daughters marry.
Yeah.
You just experienced this. Luckily, you got a good one.
Yeah.
But we've got 4 girls, and that is my biggest fear, is who that guy is that's going to come into our life. But you don't necessarily get to choose, right? Yeah. So that's what I'm worried about.
We were pretty hard on that, though, because I picked out this kid for her.
That's true.
I literally took her to my home tent in northern Idaho and said, this guy.
What did you say? You said this is a
matchmaking
trip. I was like, Sean, you can't say that.
And literally.
Sing the matchmaker song.
I mean, oh, from Fiddlers on the Roof? No.
But okay, you can't take all the credit. Ryan. Our brother-in-law, Brian.
No, but when he mentioned it to me and the family and everything, I was like, yeah, we'll do that. And so we took Gracie up to Idaho, set them up on a date, and it just, boom, everything worked out. Now, granted, she had gone on a lot of other dates and met some pretty good guys that we thought she'd probably marry one of them and couldn't see why she wasn't pulling the trigger on it. But then when we met this kid, it was obvious he was the right one for her.
Awesome family, like, yeah.
Molly, on the other hand, you know, she's very, very selective, which is great because she doesn't go and date a lot of guys in high school. She hangs out with different people, and that's great. So she has fun, but she's not in serious relationships all the time, and she doesn't have to have somebody to make herself feel valid. And but there is a guy that she really likes, and I do not want her to have a boyfriend. And I've made that very clear from day one. And
how do you control that?
I've done my best. He currently does not have a boyfriend. So
that you know of, or
no, I go on about an hour walk with her 3 to 4 times a week.
That's good.
Honestly, I think that's the best thing you can do.
Yeah.
Just spend time with her. That's all you can do.
Yeah.
That's good, because I think you'd asked me, this was a while back, like, what do I do?
Yeah.
You know, she wants to spend.
Wait, I was moving forward. And
I hate to break it to you.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do. Like, you could say, absolutely not. That's going to make her go even harder in. So that was my advice.
I don't cuss her out.
Poor advice.
I called BS on that. I was like, there is something I can do.
Turned out it was just good old-fashioned quality time.
Oh, is that her love language?
Probably. She likes to play the guitar, and I'll just sit there either in the piano room and she'll play the guitar, or in her bedroom, and I'll just lay there and she'll just play the guitar.
A lot of late night walks.
Okay. And then we go out on a walk. And sometimes her mom intervenes.
Oh my goodness. One time.
Molly doesn't appreciate that.
Because I was like, no, you don't get to take your dad. I've been away from him all weekend.
You know what? That's legitimate, okay?
Sean's like, what's the big deal? I'm like, what's the big deal?
Mom Trump.
Kids all weekend.
Dude.
A little bit of time.
Yeah.
But then I was the bad guy. And I shall let her go.
You let her be the bad guy?
I don't let her do anything.
Sean?
Sean. That's what she does.
No, you say, Molly, I love you, but I'm going to go spend time with my wife.
That was the plan. Molly said afterwards. And he said, no, not afterwards. I'm it.
And you support your wife in that?
I didn't necessarily.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm a bad person. I acquiesced, but I didn't vocalize my support.
You should next time. Wife trumps kid time sometimes.
Oh, yeah. We did wife time.
Okay. This is a deeper question, okay? Can a person really change?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, actually, I think so. I don't know.
We do? Because I heard you saying something on the phone this morning.
Sometimes.
That is not the case.
Depends on who we're talking about.
Okay. Does it come?
Yeah.
Generally. Not generally. Is it possible for a person to truly?
If we're talking about a specific
anybody
that I'm thinking about, then no. But
anybody.
Generally, anybody? Yeah. I say anybody who's willing to change, absolutely yes.
We had a conversation. So we went and saw this movie. I don't remember the movie. It was based on a book.
So sorry.
It was based on a book, and I think you might have read that book for book club.
No, you said that last time. We never read this book for book club. I read it on my own.
Okay. So then Brittany's probably not aware of it.
No, she's not.
Well, it talks about domestic abuse, and I don't know anything about the book. I just saw the movie, and I felt like... Yeah.
What? Oh. Yeah. Anyway. You guys are so brave because you watch all those movies that are just
depressing.
Yeah. Watch it. I don't. I just, eh.
That's right. It's like, you know how I'm going to show my bravete? I'm going to watch a movie.
I'm going to watch a movie about how kids get kidnapped and how wives get beaten. I'm like, no, thanks.
You don't like Taken? Is that what he got from
No, it was the other one.
Tim Ballard one.
Yeah.
That one.
I never actually watched that. We even had shows about it, and I read a lot of things about it, but I couldn't bring myself to watch it.
You have to watch no, you don't have to watch it, but you have to be aware of it and not act like it doesn't exist. We went to Mexico last year, didn't we? Was it last year? Where we went down to Cancun area, a little south of there. We took all of our kids, and before we went, we did this family meeting. We typically do that on Monday nights, and I had ordered all these like self-defense pins because you can't take a gun, you can't take like stuff down there, and so we just went over how to use it, you know, to the soft parts of the neck and to the eye sockets. If anybody takes you just pop, 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 just go to town. And it's a normal pin, but it's got some features that are metal on the end that are really sharp, and it can break glass as well. It's designed to do that. And so the kids are just like, oh. No, they took it pretty well. They took it pretty well. And Annabelle, to this day, our second youngest, as we go around, did you hear her say this the other day?
Hey, I don't even think I was home for this, but now this is all making sense because I'm like, why is she so obsessed with grabbing a pen for self-defense?
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't think I was home during this conversation because literally she's like, in some situations, she's like, here's what I would do, Mom. I would grab a pen and I would do this. And I'm like, that's ingenious. How do you know to do that?
Well, that was a client that I had. I told him he was like special ops guy and he'd done all these things, lots of things for the military, for contract work. And so he was telling me, I told him that we're going to Mexico and he's like, you should probably look into getting some, because I told him my fear of the kids getting taken, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, you can't take much into Mexico, but this, if I were in your situation, this is what I would do. And so I was like, okay. Went on Amazon, you know, like $6 a piece for these particular type of self-defense pins. But anytime Annabelle will go by herself somewhere, like not far from us, but she'll grab a pin. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
To this day. Yeah. That's good. At least
making sense now.
She hurts one thing.
It's all stuck.
One thing, yeah, one.
A lot more is stuck, I'm sure.
Well, we'll see. We'll see who she ends up marrying.
Well, what about your guys' childhood? What did you guys want to bring? Did you bring from your family?
Did you have a pool table or a big screen TV downstairs, Sean?
Definitely not.
You definitely brought work up from your family.
Oh, Adam.
Yeah, my mom always had a saying, use it up, wear it out, make it do or do without. And
you live by that, Nita.
Yeah, and I thought that was like a family saying. But I learned just recently, listening to this book by Thomas Sowell on economics, he went through the period of World War II, and that was a saying.
Mantra of the people at the time.
Yes, absolutely, because there was scarcity as far as rubber for tires and steel for cars and even denim for clothes. And so they're like, fix it up, use it up, wear it out, make it do or do without. And I don't know. That's interesting. I think now it's like if one little piece breaks on it, chuck it, buy a new one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think things are made different too now, though. Unfortunately, like fridges. Yes, and it's so frustrating. I remember when we moved into our house in town and we got this brand new fridge and it was like a tiny little piece broke on the ice machine. And I think it was a huge deal. And the guy came and he's like, yeah, they don't. And I'm like, we just bought this fridge. And he's like, yeah, they used to make them to last for like 20 years, but then they realized they weren't selling anymore. So then they started to make the parts cheaper, which is quite unfortunate.
It was actually this isn't just like a grassroots thing that happened for all appliances. There was a coordinated effort between all light bulbs makers that after the light bulb was pretty much well established where they could manufacture it to last a long time, it was lasting so long that people weren't needing to buy light bulbs anymore. And in fact, there's a light bulb that's been shining for over 100 years now. It's in a firehouse and it never shuts off. And they were manufacturing them like that. So all the main manufacturers of light bulbs got together and said, this is how we're going to manufacture them. They're going to last no longer than 5 years. If anybody steps out of line and produces a better product than this, then this is the agreed upon penalty and this is the boycott that we will be doing and so on and so forth. And so it wasn't just companies kind of caught on that if products wear out quicker, then their consumers will continue to buy. It was actually a concerted effort to make lower quality products so we could continue to consume more.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, Garner and Hanson has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
All right, do-it-yourselfer. You've got the idea, and you got your building supplies at Southwest Lumber.
That's right.
Now, all you need is a bunch of expensive tools to get the job done.
Oh, that's right.
And you know just the place to rent them. Southwest Lumber, your home for everything home improvement. Southwest Lumber has half-day to multiple-day rentals available on just about anything you need to finish the job. Rent equipment and tools on Saturday and Sunday. It's free. Stop in today at 1917 South Avenue B in Yuma. Southwest Lumber, ready for everything.
95.1 KTTI, 100.9 The River, and 560 K Blue wish you and yours the very best this holiday season. And so does this great local business, Nisham Cafe, with two locations where all you need is love and coffee.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Yeah.
So, and then just now it's just inbred in our mentality that if something breaks, we don't fix it anymore. And it is sad.
Do you think that's wrong?
You know, in the big scheme of things, I think there's bigger things to worry about. It does hurt my heart, though. I like to fix things. I hate throwing a thing that is good in 99% of its components,
right,
except one, and throwing the thing out. I feel like I'm being just a wasteful and ungrateful steward of the things that I have. And I feel like that's what a lot of the world thinks about Americans. And I'm actually living out that stereotype.
Interesting. having said that, are you proud to be an American?
Yes. Definitely. Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely, yes. Yeah.
Why?
I think it's easy to take for granted what we have, but
what is it that we have?
The ability to speak freely, like what we like, to voice our opinions about what happens and to have opinions about things. And to be
Do you really believe that, though? Do you really believe that you have the ability to speak freely?
I do.
So you could say any word you wanted to right now, and you'd be free to do it without repercussions from the government.
Yes.
Okay. That's interesting. I can think of a couple words right now.
Of words that aren't socially acceptable,
right?
That's what
I use, but I mean,
but that
I use it
but,
more because I care about a certain type, a certain person, and I don't want to come across like I don't.
Okay, so the question is then: are you not saying it because you care about offending other people, and you are, you know, somebody that is sympathetic to other people's feelings, or are you not saying it partially out of fear of reprisal?
No, it's the first. I'm saying it because I care for those people, and so I don't want to come across that I don't. And if me using a certain word makes it seem like I don't, I mean.
So you don't have any issue with the pronoun?
No, I was going to say, I do have a caveat. I have a hard time with the pronouns. I'm a he or she person.
Okay, but if somebody says, you know, somebody comes across and they've got, you know, full beard and a dress, and he says, I'm a she. You must refer to me as a she and her. Your response is going
to
be...
That's probably not going to happen to me. At the circles that I run in, I'm not usually like interacting with people like that. I don't know. I would have a hard time. I don't... Sorry, I'm hitting my mic. I don't feel the same. I'm more like speaking of like Jews and black people or, you know, like, I don't know, groups of people, not someone that's chosen to think there's being different.
Do you think that's universal? That you think that's what do you? Well, here's a lament, because America is the standard for freedom, and one of the biggest freedoms out there is speech. If you don't have that, then everything else kind of dwindles and evaporates along with it. So that's the real question, and I think the real measurement of our freedom is: do we really feel like we're free to say anything? Do we want? Or have we just gotten very comfortable saying things that are socially acceptable and not even trying to push the limits, and therefore we don't feel like we're constrained, but in reality we have curtailed our speech to fit within what's acceptable, both politically and socially. Because you can't say the N-word. Nobody can say the N-word except black people, and they can say it in any context they want, in horrible phrases with the worst lewd type of lyrics in rap songs. But if a white person would say it, even in the most, you know, historical and contextualized context to explain what was going on in a specific type of setting, like in the antebellum South, they would be ostracized, they would be cut off, they would be blacklisted. And I don't think just because of social aspects, I think like on a government level, they may have Facebook accounts canceled, and that's from government overreach on censorship. So I'm just, you say something and my job is to, you know, push the one point that maybe it's not 100% true, and that's one of those. But I do share your sentiment that we do have a lot of freedoms that other countries don't have. I mean, in England right now, there's thousands of people that are in jail because of the speech, because of what they said. And we don't have that. We have, it's more of a economic sanction and more of a politically pariah sanction that you have. Like, you can no longer be involved in politics if you say certain words. For example, I mean, and this has been around for a long time. We had Mark Furman, that he said the N-word, and he said it regularly. And then he was the head detective on O.J. Simpson. And he found all the preliminary or the primary evidence against O.J. Simpson and Nicole Brown Simpson's death. And all of that evidence was thrown out because he used the N-word. And he had to move from L.A. Guess where he moved? Northern Idaho. He lived about a mile away from my house.
No way.
Whitest place in the world. And he moved there. And even when he moved there, his house would get egged all the time. Rocks would get thrown at it. He got spray painted and graffitied. People didn't want him there. And so you say we have free speech, but the test of free speech is when you say something that is socially unacceptable.
People also have the freedom to, if they don't like it, they can say they don't like it. So I mean,
yeah, and I think I take issue with your premise of that only black people can say the N-word. Anybody can say the word.
No, not and get away with it.
Yeah, you can. Well, you can say it.
Go for it.
Hold on.
Let's hear it.
You can say the word.
Don't you bait him. Can't say it.
I say it right now. I will say it.
Anybody can say it. Free from, in my opinion, government intervention. The government can't throw you in jail for saying it. Yes, I agree with you to the extent that socially you might be ostracized. You might be, you know, looked at as the worst person in the world. But that, I think the values of America are such that we do value speech. So far, it's being whittled away. But I think we're on the grounds of, or we're on the frontier of building it back up, if not even barricading it more. And okay. I think yes, I agree with you. We saw some Facebook issues, let's say the 2020 election, where they got intervened by either the FBI or some government agency, and their watchdogs was forced them to do things. But because that happened, I think there are now some bolstering up of the shores within the government system to not allow that to happen. Namely,
if you said it right now, do you think that this podcast would be able to be published unedited and uninhibited on YouTube?
No.
Right?
But not because of the government. It's because of YouTube's YouTube is a private company. Google's a private company. And for rating, oh, okay. So ratings, that's an issue. We rate things here in the United States, at least, you know, like a movie, you'd PG-13 or R. And so they are, the reason we do that is because of government regulatory agency.
Interesting.
So you didn't win, okay? I'm not conceding. I'm not conceding.
Fair.
I'm not conceding.
Unless you say the word and it gets actually aired without
censorship,
we don't have freedom of speech. And I'm not advocating to say just incendiary speech. What I'm saying is, if we wanted to, we couldn't. Unless you're a minority.
I think we could. I'm thinking it through as you're talking. Because YouTube is a private company, you know, or Google. And so
I want you to show me one conservative white male that uses that word.
Why does it have to be that word? Yeah. Why can't it just be any
bad word?
Not bad word, but just...
Well, there's a difference between like...
That word is like the pinnacle.
But why do you need to use that word as your whole
premise
of free speech?
Because it brings in other issues such as discrimination.
Of course I can say I love everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Free speech is only tested when you use speech that is not tolerated by others. Free speech is only tested when you say something that is not politically correct. It's not really free speech if you're only saying what everybody agrees with.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Which is true, but in this particular hypothetical that we're presenting, YouTube would censor us. There's no doubt. But is there a government agency? That's the question. Is there a government agency that's causing them to do that because of some sort of rating system that they have at YouTube? I do not believe
so. What if you applied for a federal position?
Yeah.
And you had said those words. I mean, just like we said, Mark Furman did it, right? That was a federal institution or a government institution. It was actually a state institution that was prosecuting him that threw out all the evidence. And that means he can't say what he wants to say. They didn't prove that he was racist. All they had to prove was that he said something that people disagreed with.
When did he say it, by the way?
1990.
No, like in what context?
He would say it regularly in his just everyday language.
Which is more that like.
But that happens constantly today. If you're a black person, mm-hmm. you can say that, mm-hmm. but you cannot if you're a white person, and because you can't say something based on your race, your ethnicity, even your gender,
mm-hmm.
then that means you don't have free speech. And I think we have freer speech in most nations, but we don't have free speech.
I disagree. We agree to disagree.
That reminds me of the thing that we watched last night with Megyn Kelly of her
what
hate
you watch?
Speech thing that she's like,
mm-hmm.
there is no hate speech. There's free speech.
Exactly.
Which I thought was very interesting. And it just made me really think, yeah, we really shouldn't be saying there is no hate speech. It's people expressing their opinions.
And those opinions can be super vile and nasty and untrue.
Right.
But I think the founders understood. Obviously, they understood that. It was one of the biggest things that they debated on the Congress.
They used that type of speech against one another in running for their political campaign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the thing about it is... Who is to say where the line is drawn?
Right.
If you draw a line, then you give power to the government to draw that closer and closer and closer mm-hmm. to other types of speech that you don't think is actually wrong. And it actually is a correct expression of your opinion, but you're curtailed on it. And so because I can point out a very specific example, I think that it exists. Now, of course, we could say a lot of things that would make us, you know, terrible human beings for saying it, but that's not the question of whether or not we're a terrible human being. The question is whether or not we're allowed to say anything we want to say.
So that's all the time we have, ladies. One more question, okay? Brittany, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being poor, 10 being the best, how would you rate your husband?
Oh my gosh. Well, if the crowd has learned anything, they ought to be skeptic.
They will decide for themselves based on this conversation. I agree. I work with him every day. He's a good guy. He's awesome.
Okay.
You're not going to ask me?
No, I'm not going to ask you.
Rude. I would have given you a 10.
I know.
Son of a gun?
I know you would have.
Oh, I love you.
What about now?
He's pretty still awesome.
Oh.
He's actually amazing.
Thanks for having us on.
Thank you, ladies, for coming on.
If you didn't know, we were Adam and Sean's wives. I don't even think you introduced us.
I did not.
I'm Brittany, Sean's wife.
I'm Jessica.
24 years. Jessica and Adam have been married. Have you been married 20 years yet? Or?
No.
Question.
Keen?
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. I think we were married about 5 years for you guys.
You have 6 kids. You have 6 kids.
We have 6 kids.
We have 6 kids.
You had your kids so fast.
But twins will do it.
Yeah, we had twins in the middle. 2 hospital bills for 2 twins. I'm like, what the heck? You can't consolidate? One delivery? I guess it was 2 deliveries.
We did put them in 1 bassinet. We did. It was so cute.
Anything else you want to say about yourselves?
I love you.
No?
It's fun being here with you.
Is it? Did you have fun today?
Yeah, good.
You got to do it again.
We do. Yeah. Now that you've got the edge up.
It's really nice to be able to defend myself on the radio versus when I'm hearing it going, that's not what I said.
That's what I heard you say. It's just like, I would say that's 90% of what happens when I talk to you. It comes in here, and then it's like the Jessica filter, and then you'll parrot back to me what you thought I said. I'm like, I didn't say that at all. That's the opposite of what I said.
What?
That's true. Right, Sean? Back me up on this. Does it seem right? Okay, we're going to end the show now.
I see that you positioned your chair closer to the floor.
It's my escape route.
How was it having us on the show?
I think it's fun. I think
we weren't given a topic, so
I wasn't worried about you coming in and not giving you a topic because you are highly intelligent women, and we know how you can just go roll with the punches.
Well, and the show is entitled Life, Death, and the Law. And you guys know a lot about life, so you don't need to prep.
Exactly. You've been prepping your whole lives.
Yeah.
6 kids and work and all sorts of stuff.
Good to be with you guys.
It is.
All right.
Lots of fun.
That's a wrap.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner & Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Want to hear more Life, Death, and the Law? You can find it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, or any other platform you listen to your podcasts.
Eldorado Broadcasters and this station congratulate the newest Yuma County Chamber of Commerce members.
O Aesthetics, LLC. American Legion Riders Post 19. CNL Cleaning Services, LLC. Uniforms SE. Yuma Gymnastics. And AE System Services, LLC.
If you'd like to find out how you can become a member and join all the benefits membership brings, email Diana at yumachamber.org. That's Diana at yumachamber.org. Or call 928-782-2566.
Holiday cheer starts at Sprague Sports, your one-stop holiday destination for that hunter or shooter on your list. Let Sprague bring you the Christmas cheer with holiday savings throughout the store. We're talking guns, gear, and more. Special selection on gun safes from Champion and Superior Safes, and yes, Sprague delivers. And don't forget the free lifetime gun warranty, $100 value. Check out Sprague's holiday cheer flyer at Sprague's.com and the extra special flyer on Friday. Holiday cheer starts at Sprague Sports. Sprague's, 32nd Street next to Lowe's.
Do you hear this? Every parent needs a break, right? Hi, I'm Wes McDowell with the Wes McDowell Insurance Agency. If rising insurance rates are keeping you from having date nights, then call our office at 928-305-1607 for a free and hassle-free quote. That's 305-1607. Let us see if we can save you money so you can have a night away from all of those loud kids. Good luck with that.
The 17th annual Summer Tin Tamale Festival is back December 21st, starting at 11 a.m. with only $5 entry, children under 12 free. Come enjoy all types of tamales, from beef and chicken to spinach and sweet corn. 2 stages with nonstop entertainment, including YouTube and regional sensation Enigma Norteño, El Flaco Elzalde, and the very best of local talent. Money raised helps fund scholarships for local students. Don't miss this holiday tradition, the Summer Tin Tamale Festival, December 21st.
Did you know if you're an adult living with asthma or COPD, getting sick with pertussis may result in severe complications? Pertussis, or whooping cough, is a serious respiratory illness. Vaccination is the best way to help protect against pertussis. Speak to your healthcare provider to ensure you are up to date on your Tdap vaccination. Learn more at lung.org.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the